We looked at if statements a whole week ago. So now we're going to start to look at loops.
Okay, so go into the JavaScript examples, programs. Actually go to programs and then JavaScript. Okay, so from the front you're going to go into programs and then scroll down and get to JavaScript. And I believe we got through problem two last time. Does anybody want to tell me if I'm remembering correctly? Because it's been a whole week.
I don't remember. I can check the slides.
Okay, no, I can't too. I believe I got through program two, which was combining ands and ors. Okay, so we looked at that, and I'm going to go back and look at Mass or Rhode Island first. John, Rhode Island. John, you live in Rhode Island. Okay, so this one was one of the last ones we looked at. And this one is, I want to know everybody that lives in Massachusetts or Rhode Island. So I'm saying the state equals Mass or the state equals Rhode Island. Okay? And the or is done with two pipes. And the two pipes is, the pipe is the symbol under the backspace. On your keyboard, it may look like there's a separator between the top and the bottom, but it does on mine. It may not on yours. Different keyboards show different things. But that is the or. Okay? So I can either write simple if statements, or I can write compound if statements. Okay? Does this sound vaguely familiar, like we did this already? Did we change it to simple if statements? I don't remember doing that either. Because I think we were running out of time. It's terrible. They should never give me a week's vacation. Okay?
Yeah, I do have the symbol for or written down.
Okay, so that sounds good. Okay, so if I wanted to change this into simple ifs, I can take the code and I can bring up Notepad and paste the code in. Okay, so if I want to change it into simple if statements, I'm going to take and get rid of that part. Okay, so I'm saying if state equals Massachusetts, do a document write that says the name you live in and the state.
Bless you.
And actually at this point, I could write in the name you live in Massachusetts. Because I know that it's Massachusetts. So I can change this, and I can write... Actually, how can I change this? Notice that this is a literal. Okay, I'm putting out those words. This is a variable. But now I want to make it into the word Massachusetts, which is a literal. DR is a literal. Okay, so I can actually put that all in one set of quotes. And I can say, you live in Massachusetts. And have the BR there and have it all inside one set of quotes. So I'm saying, write the name. Still need to keep that as a variable, concatenated with you live in Massachusetts, BR. Okay, so I can put that all together as one, yeah.
Does it automatically know to put a space between the name and the literal you have there?
It will put one in because I put a space here.
Okay.
See?
Yep.
I've got the space right there. So that will put it in. Otherwise, it would be concatenated, and concatenated is push it together as one. So now on my else, I want to ask what?
What am I going to put inside my Eltsia?
If they're in Rhode Island.
If they're in Rhode Island. So I'm going to say Elts if the state equals RI. Okay, and remember that the equals is done with two equal signs. One equal sign up there is an assignment sign. So the one equal sign is an assignment sign, two equal signs is the comparison. So I'm now saying if they live in, and I'm going to copy and paste this. And say, document right, you live in Rhode Island. Okay. And then I need another else. And say, else, document right. You do not live in Massachusetts or Rhode Island. Okay? So if I wanted to do this with simple ifs, I would do it that way. Okay? With compounds, if I decide to do a compound, I do it by putting the ors together, yes.
I still kind of don't understand why the first if doesn't need a curly brace, but the second one does.
In fact, I'm missing a curly brace now that I look at this. Where am I missing a curly brace?
At the end. You need to close the if.
Yep. I need to close the else. Okay. Why the... Say that again, because I'm...
I don't get why the first if doesn't have a brace, but the second one does.
It does have a brace, doesn't it?
The first one?
The first one has these two. And this is what I want to do if it's true. So if the state equals Massachusetts, this is what I want to do. Else, if it's false, I want to do something inside there. So I'm saying else, do the whatever is inside these curly braces.
Okay?
And if I had nothing in there, you'd just see the two curly braces. What I put in there was an if. So the if has, this is what I want to do if it's true. This is what I want to do if it's false.
Okay. I kept thinking as if the curly brace was for the if, but it was really for the else.
Right. Yes. Okay. So this is how I set it up. So what I had was, if the state is Massachusetts, I want to put out... Whoops, I guess I can't go over there. I want to put out that they live in Massachusetts. If it's not Massachusetts, I want to ask if it's Rhode Island and put out that it's Rhode Island. Okay, otherwise, I want to put out neither. Okay, so that's the problem that I have. I want to find out if they're Massachusetts or Rhode Island. If they're Massachusetts, I want to put that out. If it's Rhode Island, I want to put that out. Now, the way I've got it set up right now, I put literals in here. This could not be turned into a compound because I have different messages. I have one message for the mass, one message for the Rhode Island. But if you go back and look at my original said, you live in, and then it took whatever they entered in and put that in the front sentence. And so it ended up that I could use the same message because I took the information that was typed in and I put that in as the message. So I could use the same message. Okay, so the key here is, and it's not a terribly great example for explaining this, but the key is that if I want to compound, I'm saying if it's either Mass or Rhode Island, then if I want to do a compound, and let me expand that so I can actually use the ink. If I want to do a compound, these two have to be the same. The same to do a compound. Because what I'm going to ask if I do a compound is it this or this? If it's either of these, do a certain thing. So I've got to have the same message. Okay? Now, the way I've got it written right now, I don't have the same message. But if I write it out as, you live in, and then I concatenate it with the contents of the state, then I end up with the same message. Okay? If I have different messages, which I now have, I can't do a compound. Because if I combined them and said, the state equals Mass or the state equals Rhode Island, which one of these would I put there? Okay? I'd have a problem. So they have to be the same to do a compound. Now, what I did in this particular example is I basically kind of cheated. So I said, yes, they have the same, because I am bringing down what the user entered. And so what the user entered is showing up there. Okay? So I'm saying you live in, and then I'm putting in whatever the user entered. So indeed it is the same message. Okay? So the message is the same, so I can do a compound. Questions? Now, if I look at the next one, it has an and in it, I believe. So enter your name, Susan. Okay, enter the year of birth, 1990. Enter your marital status, single. And Susan, you do not meet the criteria. Let me get rid of the ink there because this one has an and. Okay. So the and is written as this. Okay, this is the and. So what I have here now is I ask the question about year birth greater than 1980, and if the answer was yes, okay, if the answer is yes, then I want to ask about Massachusetts. Okay, so is the marital status, sorry about that, is the marital status equal to M? And if it is, then I am going to say you meet the criteria. If the answer's no, okay, and here I get into the interesting part. If I want to compound, the answer of no has got to be the same. So this and this have to be the same if I am going to have a compound. Because I'm saying if your birth is greater than 1980 and marital status equals M, it meets the criteria. Else, and the else has to be these. The else has to be that. Okay, and so it has to be the same messages. if the else's have different messages, then I have to use simple ifs. Okay, does that make sense? So if I go and change this, let's try that one more time. If I go and change this, go ahead and try that for a minute. Change this to simple ifs. And I'm going to do it up there, up here, but you try it back there as well. Oh, good. Okay, so this is an and relationship. So I'm asking first, is your birth greater than 1980? And if it is, I drop down and ask, is the marital status out? And if I get a yes to that, I put out, you meet the criteria. Okay, so again, I'm asking first, is the greater than 1980? And if it is, then I am asking, is it an M? And only if both of those are true, because this is an and relationship. So if both of those are true, then again, I meet. Okay? If I get a no to the inner one, the marital status one, then I ask, then I say, does not meet. And if I get a no to the 1980, I put in, does not meet. Okay. So these two have to be the same to do a compound. The same to do a compound. If they're not the same, then I need to do these separate. And you can see that I could go in
and change one of these messages without a problem. Okay? If I wanted to change this one and have it just say no, I can go in and that one is associated with here, so I can change this and simply say no. Okay, so I can change the message if I want to when it is simple ifs. But if it's a compound, they have to be the same message. And so I would have to do it that way. Does that make sense? It's your job to ask questions when I don't make sense. Yeah.
Since we were basically taking that and breaking it down into a simple if, even though it didn't need to.
Right.
We were just, basically I put if year birth is 1980, document right, blah. Else, if marital status is M, document right.
Wait a minute, you did what? Say it again.
I did if year birth is greater than 1980, then document right the name plus you meet the criteria.
No, because I want both things to have to be true. Okay, the spirit of the thing is, if you go back to the original, and we're just writing another version of it, is the year of birth has to be greater than 1980, and the marital status has to be M. So I can't write that it meets the criteria until I get a yes to both of them.
So instead of the first else, I should have put and?
No, you should have done what I did. if you were writing a compound, then it had an and, but that was the original version. I have, if your birth is greater than 1980, then immediately ask the next question.
Okay.
If the marital status equals M, then go on. Okay? Okay. So, looking back at this one, essentially I have two questions. I have the year birth greater than 1980, and I have marital status M. Okay. So I'm asking those two questions. So what are the possible results? Well, I could get a yes to both of them. And if I get a yes to both of them, this is what I want to do. You meet the criteria because I got a yes to both of them. The other options are I could get a yes-no, a no-yes, and a no-no. Okay, those are my four options that I can get when I'm asking two questions. These three, although that does not meet the criteria, okay, because the criteria is that both of them have to be yes. So in an and relationship, when you're looking at an and, okay, only yes meets the criteria. Everything else does not meet the criteria. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I'm getting some yeses. Okay, if I go back now to the other one that I was doing, Mass or Rhode Island. This has two questions also. And the questions are, is it MMA or is it RI? And again, there is the four possibilities. Okay? So which one of those possibilities is going to result in the okay, you live in the state, and which one is going to give me you do not live in Mass or Rhode Island? Okay, if I get a no to both questions, I'm going to do that.
Okay?
If I get a yes to any of the questions with an or, I am going to do that. So if I get or is yes, yes. Now this example happens to be one where it's impossible to get a yes, yes. But let's say I had said, you know, the state equals Mass or the city equals Providence or something like that, whatever, something else there. Or means one or both have to be true. So the YY, even though it doesn't work when I'm asking about the state two times, but YY, YN, or NY would all get a result of you live in that state. Because if one of these things is true, or both of them is true, then I get that message. Okay? If I get a no to both of them, you do not live in Mass or Rhode Island. Okay. So that's the difference between an or and an and. And I really should have two different decisions to make that point, but hopefully you can see that if I had asked about two different fields, then I still could get the yes, yes. Okay, in this example, yes, yes can't happen. Because I can't have in the two characters for state or in the user types in, I can't have both MA and RI. So the yes, yes can't happen in this example. Okay, but if it was testing different fields, it could. Okay. So that's the basics of if statements. So the next thing we're going to look at is the basics of looping. Okay. This mouse is very overactive. Okay, so I'm going to look at the while loop. How many times should I write the line? Six. And it writes the line six times. Okay. So this time I said, set up a variable called data input and give it an initial value of zero. And then I immediately prompted. And then I set up another variable. Usually I set up the variables together up at the top. This time I broke them up. And the reason I broke them up is that I'm doing a loop, and there's three things that we've talked about, and I'll go over in a second, about what I need to do in a loop. And I just wanted that variable count equals one right before the while, so that I could talk about the three things that had to do with a loop. And I can get away with that. I can put variables in intermittently all the way through, and it doesn't object. It's just that on the whole, we tend to group them all at the top. So I asked variable data input equals zero. And then I said, data input is going to get the results now, the prompt. How many times should I write the line? And I put in six. So now it is coming down, and it is setting count equal to zero. So count is going to be set equal, I'm sorry, to 1. Count is being set equal to 1. Now, there are three things that you have to do with a loop. Okay? You have to set the control. So setting the control is saying count
equals 1. I have to set the control. I have to test the control. And I have to change the control. So testing the control I am doing right there, and changing the control I'm doing right there. Okay, so I have to do all those three things. I have to set the control, I have to check it, and I have to change it. Because if I don't change it, I'll do it forever. Okay? I, at one point, when I was first learning to program, we had a big printer, and somebody came out with a pile of papers and said to me, "Did you really want all of these copies of my one line that said one line?" And then it just went over and over and over again. What I hadn't done is I hadn't changed the control. And so it just kept writing the same number over and over and over again on a pile of papers that thick, because I hadn't changed the control. So it never ended. And if the paper hadn't run out, it would have kept going all day and all night. Okay? So changing it, I have to do. So I said set count equal to 1. While count is less than or equal to data input. Okay, data input is 6, because that's what I entered in. So I'm asking the question, is count, which is 1, less than or equal to 6? Yes, it is. So I write out, this is number, and then I write what's in count, and then I break. Then I add 1 to count. Count's now a 2. I go back and I check. Is count less than or equal to data input? Yes, it is. So I write the next line, and then I add 1 to count. And eventually I'm going to get up to count is 7. And when count is 7, it is going to check and say, is count less than or equal to 6? No, it's not. I'm out of here. Okay? And you can see that if I didn't change count, it would have written, this is number 1, all the way down the page and all the way down the next page and forever, until eventually it crashed. Yeah.
Why didn't it end when the count was equal to 6?
Because I said less than or equal to. Do while count is less than or equal to.
So if it's at 6, it's equal to.
That's right.
So shouldn't it have said 5? But it'll go out and leave you with the last thing.
No, I mean if it's 6. Okay. So when I get to 6, it says, is 6 less than or equal to 6? Yeah, they're equal. So I go in, I write out document write, this is 6. And then I add 1, and it becomes 7.
Okay.
And then when I go back, 7 is not less than or equal to 6, so it drops out. And when it drops out, okay, it does this document write, this is the end. It writes that out, because that's below the while loop. The while loop is all contained in those curly braces. Curly braces contain things. Like in the if, they contain what I want to do if it's true, what I want to do if it's false. In this, it contains what I want to do with inside the loop. It's contained within that curly brace. So when it hits the bottom curly brace, it knows it's time to go back and check. Okay, so that bottom curly brace sends it back to check. There are other languages that will have end statements, and they won't use curly braces. I will start out with while, and then they will put in a line that says end while, that tells me that's the end, or tells the computer that that's the end, and it should go back and check again. Okay, so when it hits the end, it goes back and checks. And when it checks, It makes the determination whether to do what is inside the curly braces or whether to go to the line after the loop. Okay? So I go to the line after the loop when I'm all done. It has a BR first, so I skip a line, and then I write out this is the end. This could have all been done inside one set of folds. So that's how a loop works. And I have to do those three things. Set the control, test the control, and change the control. Or I run into the problem of it never stopping. Okay? And count, in this case, is the control. Okay. So that was the while loop. Here is a do loop. How many times should I write the line? 6. Okay, so the difference between these is where the checking is. This one just says do, and then I do document write, this is number, and I write out the answer. Okay? So I get the same results. Okay, I've got the same results. It does it, adds one to count, and checks to see if it should do it again. If it should do it again, it goes back up and does it again. But the check is done afterward, yeah.
Is there a way to do a maximum number? So, like, it'll only go up to, like, say, you write 500, and it won't go past 500.
Well, basically, that's what the data input is doing. I'm setting a maximum number when I put in that prompt.
I meant, like, say you put in code, like, the max it would go up to 300, but you put 500, so it'll only go to 300.
Oh, sure. You can have an if statement that says if data input is greater than whatever, stop. Okay? Yes. Okay, so this one works the same way. Now, let's, yeah.
In the document write, where it says plus count plus, why isn't that being displayed? Is that because you don't have
quotes? Wait a minute.
Quotes?
Where am I? In document write.
Yeah. The plus count plus.
Yeah.
Is there a need to put that in the document write?
No, I just wanted to write this is the number, and then I wanted to know where count was, because I just thought it helped.
No, I
CT
know, but
CT there is count.
Yeah, but the second plus at the end.
I was wanted to break afterwards, so yes.
Okay.
I'm writing out this is a number. I'm concatenating it with the content of count. And I'm concatenating that with the BR so that I move down a line. Now, I could have done the BR at the beginning right there inside that. And then I would have gone down one line at the beginning. But ever after, I'd keep going down one line.
Okay.
Okay, so I could do it that. Okay, I'm going to keep this and go back to this one. Okay, so these are the two ways that we've just done the same thing. One of them tested at the beginning, one of them tested at the end. One of them will always do the content once, and one of them may or may not do the content, which is which. which one of these will always do the content of the loop once?
The one on the left?
No.
Because it says while it's testing it at first?
Yeah, that's right. This one tests.
Oh, I see.
And if data input was zero, it would not go in. Okay? So this one tests first and may not do the loop and may not do the code in the loop. Because if I enter a zero for data input, it's not going to go in. This one doesn't test. Okay? It doesn't do a test. So the test is at the end. This one will always do the loop content once. At least once. It will always do it at least once. Because I don't ask any questions. I just say do. So it does. Then I add one to count, and then I ask the question, should I do it again? So it may not do it a second time, but will always do it once. Okay? So if I look at these, let's see if I can get rid of the ink. And I go back, when I run the while loop, if I put in a zero, I hit this is the end. Okay? So it never did it. If I go to the do loop and I put in the zero, it does it once. And then it quits.
So the do loop is actually not what you want.
In this example, no. And there are, oops, I definitely don't think that's what I wanted to bring up. Is this the do loop? No, that's the while loop. Well, I'm having a good time. And maybe I should close up a few of these. Okay. You know what the easiest thing to be doing was? I should have done a view source. Okay. So this one, the loop goes in. It says do. I put in a zero. Okay, so data input, I put in a zero for data input. And so it then goes in, doesn't care, writes out this is number plus count, because count is a one, adds one to count, count's now a two. Do while count is less than or equal to data input. Two is definitely not less than or equal to zero, so it doesn't go back to do it again. It is done and drops through and writes out, this is the end. Yeah.
So, not that it would be efficient, but if you wanted to, could you at the end put an if and then say, if data input is equal to zero, write, this is the end?
Yes.
If you wanted to cover the whole...
Yes, I could have put it inside the loop. Right before that document write, I could have asked a question and said, if data input equals zero, do this document right, else do this document right. Okay? But why bother when you can do the while? Okay, so those are just two ways that you can do a loop. And there are others, but those are kind of the two predominant ways. Okay, the next one is an if with a loop. And this one I put a lot of alerts in. So the count at the beginning of the loop is one. enter the number of points you earned, 50. Total points after the add is 50. Count at the beginning of loop 2. Enter the number of points. I'll put in 25. Total points after the add is now 75. Count at the beginning of loop 3. I'll put in a 10. Should now be up to 85, and if it is, then count at beginning of loop 4. I'll put in 100. It should now be at 185, and it is. And I've got one more to go. Count at beginning of loop 5. And total points after add. What did I just do? I obviously hit something wrong, but we will look at the code and then we'll figure out what I entered wrong. Because that was me, not it. Okay, so I have a while count is less than or equal to 5. And what I did is I put in this alert, set of alerts, so that it showed me what I had. So I said count at the beginning of the loop, and I showed count. Total points after the add, I showed total points. So I put in the alert to kind of show me. So if things aren't working right, this is a great way of catching logic problems, is to show in the alert, put in the alert, and then it shows me where count is. It shows me where total points is, and I can keep track of whether it's working correctly. Okay? So the other thing that I wanted to mention in this one is how I accumulate a total. Okay, so I start out and I have total points. And I started out and I said total points is going to start out at 0. And count is going to start out at 1. Okay, so I said do while count is less than or equal to a 5. Then immediately put out the alert to show me the count was 1. Then it prompted the user to enter the points, and the first points I entered was 50. And so it's now saying, take what is in total points, which is 0, add 50, and put it back into total points. Assign it back to total points. So I now have 50. Okay? And then I put up an alert here that would have said 50. Then I said add 1 to count. Now in this case, I actually did parse integer on the count, just to show you that you can, because whenever you add, you're supposed to do it. However, the way most browsers work is if you have a number here, it assumes you want to do an add instead of a concatenate. Okay, so I didn't need to do that parse integer, but it would always work. And if you're paranoid, that's the way to go, okay? If you're not paranoid, then you can just write count equals count plus 1. So, I then hit the bottom of the loop and I go back. And I've added 1 to count, so when I put it out, it will now say count is 2 when it puts out the alert. It says prompt, enter the number of points you've earned. I entered 25. So it says parse integer, the total points, so that's 50, plus what I just put in, which is 25. I'm now up to 75. So to accumulate, I say, take what is in the field, add something to it, and put it back in the field. And that accumulates. So the next time through, I said 10. It would take the 75, add 10 to it, and I have 85. Okay, so it just keeps growing. The number I put in were 50, 25, 10, and then kept going. but that, it just keeps growing. Yes.
So the first input, your total points is equal to zero, right?
That's right.
And then it just inputs whatever you...
So I take zero, I take zero and add 50 to it and put it back in, and it grows to 50. I take 50, add 25 to it, put it back into total points, it's now 75. Take 75, add 10 to it, put it back in, it's now 85. And I keep doing that. Okay. Questions. And then I check. If total points is less than 10, I say not enough points for a prize. And I move that message, that those words to message. And at the bottom I do a document writing message. And it writes out the words. Okay? Else, if total points is less than or equal to 50, you get a Group B prize. Else, you get a Group A prize. Okay? So if I, once I'm above 50, I get a Group A prize. Okay? So again, looking at if statements, this is what I do if it's true, this is what I do if it's false. And if it's false, I ask another question, this is what I do if it's true, this is what I do if it's false. I really think if statements work best if you indent like I did, so you can kind of see the line of the curly braces. If you write them all up against the left-hand wall, I wish you a lot of luck trying to figure out what's what. Okay? It's a lot easier if you indent. Okay. So again, running this, and let's see if it actually works this time. Count at the beginning of the loop is 1. Total points after, yeah. Okay, what's happening is my mouse is getting carried away. So that's what comes out. If I very carefully click OK, it asks me for the number of points.
You can just hit enter.
And I hit 50. Yes, you can just hit enter. That's actually probably a good idea, because then it saves me from doing it. Total points after add is 50. And so count at beginning of loop 2, and I entered 25. And then I've got 75. Good suggestion. Count at beginning of loop is 3. I added 10. It is now up to 85. Count at beginning of loop 4, I added 100. It is now up to 185. Count at beginning of loop 5, I'll add 1,000. And it should now be 1,185. And so I can choose from group A, because I'm sufficiently over 50.
And if you just wanted to display the total points at the end, you would just do a document right at the bottom.
Yeah.
And then close it.
Yes, just do a document right on that.
Okay.
Okay. Next. This mouse really does have a mind of its own. Final totals. Okay. End of the points that player one earned. Okay, so I'll put in 25. And player two earned 50. You want to play again? Yes or no? And I'm entering a yes. And I'm going to then enter another 25 and a 10. You want to play again? No. So player one got 50 points. Player two got 60 points. Okay. So I was keeping track, and I said, okay,
first of all, I set up a total for player one and a total for player two. I set up the entry for player one and the entry for player two. Then I set up the variable called continue program. And I said while continue program equals capital Y. Okay, I could have said or it equals lowercase y. I could have done a conversion, which we haven't looked at yet, but there's a way to convert it. But I'm just saying if they hit a capital Y, I will continue. If they hit anything other than a capital Y, I'll drop out of the loop. I won't do the loop. I'm only doing it if it's a capital Y. Okay? And so I go through the loop and I basically add to the totals. Now, on this one I used window dot prompt just because I like to use different things occasionally to show it to you. It doesn't need to be window dot prompt, just prompt is enough. So window dot is not needed. And on this one I said when they take it in, I'm going to convert it to a parse integer. So when they take it in, I'm converting it to parse integer, which makes it a number. And that somehow seems to convince it that when it does the add, I don't have to do the parse integer in there. Okay. Again, if you are a skeptic, this is probably not the best way to do it because I think it works in all browsers, but I haven't tested it in all browsers. The other way is the safest way, is to put the parse integer on everything when you do an add. Yeah.
On the, is that continue progression? What's that stand for?
Say that again.
The cont prog, is that continue progression or continue prog?
No, the continue program is what program. I meant. So my abbreviation.
Why do you have to set that as yes at first? Is that to start the loop off?
Because I'm asking the question while it's equal to yes. So if I don't have it set to yes, it won't be equal when I ask the while. Okay? So I set it to y, and then it's y when I hit the while. Otherwise, it would probably be blank. And while it's equal to y, the blank would give me a no, and I wouldn't go into the loop. So I ask these questions, I then add player one entry to player one total, player two entry to player two total, and ask the user, do you want to play again, Y or N? And as long as they enter a Y, I keep playing. When they enter an N or anything else, I'm out. And then I wrote out the total for player one is, the total for player two is. Okay, now I want you to go in and add if statements to determine who the winner was. Okay? So we have a player one total, we have a player two total. Who won? And don't forget, ties are a possibility. So there's three possibilities. Player one won, player two won, it was a tie. So go in and write the if statements. Take this program, write the if statements to find out who won. I'm not hearing a lot of clicking. Ooh, novel approach. So I am copying it into Notepad, and I'm calling mine whowon.html. So So I copied it into Notepad, and now I need to go in and put in the if statements. And the if statements can be before these document rights, right after the loop, or they can be after the document rights. Depends on whether you want to write out the totals first and then tell who won, or whether you want to tell who won and then show the totals. Remember, there are three possibilities. However, you only have to ask two questions, because if there's three possibilities and there can't be a fourth possibility, then you'd only have to ask two questions. So one of the ways to start out is to say, is player one's total, and I didn't want to write that whole thing about player one total because it would never fit in the box, so I just called it P1. If P1 is greater than player P2, then player one won. If not, ask the next question. Yeah. Player one total is greater than player two total, yes. But then you have to put in what you want to do. And player one total has to have a capital P there, and the condition has to be in parentheses. So just a few little doctoring things. We all had a week off. It's a hard return. It really is. I'm amazed at how much I forgot over a week.
You said to do this, I was like, oh no.
Can I just listen to you? You can ask the questions and any questions you want. In any way that you want. If you have a question, Lindsay looks bored.
Yeah, I know.
Your else needs to have a curly brace before it, right?
Yes.
It's not like an if, you can't put it in.
Well, wait a minute.
Basically.
Before what? I shouldn't have said yes.
Because I don't want to. Can I say how I did it?
Yeah.
I did if player one total is greater than player two total,
right.
Then document right, player one wins. Then right after that, I put another if. If player one total is equal to...
No, that's when you need an else.
Well, if I put the else, it's not going to factor in the tie. Right?
Wrong, I think.
You do an if and then an else and then another else.
That another, yeah, and then if with it. So the flowchart looks like this.
I did the same thing.
Is player...
I'm asking, is play a two greater than? You can ask any order of these questions. I could have asked, is it equal at this point? What did you ask, equal next?
Yeah, I put if, and then my second if was player one total is equal to player two total.
Okay, so I can do that. It doesn't matter which I ask next. So if I say if player one equals player two,
then I said,
then it's a tie. Else.
Yeah, and then I put an else.
Player two wins.
Yes, that's what I did.
Okay.
But I put the curly brace. I put
so
else.
So wait a minute. So, player one, this is an else. And this is an else. Right?
Yes.
Well, mine are ifs. My first two are ifs, and then I have an else.
No, you got to have an if, else. That's what I said. If player one is greater than, okay, pseudocode for this. If player one is greater than player two, then player one wins. Else. Okay? So if player one is greater than player two, player one wins. Else. And you ask the next if statement.
I can't remember the slide that we did before where we had two ifs right underneath.
That's an and relationship, not an or.
Okay.
If there's an if and then another if right under it, that's an and relationship.
I see.
Because you're saying if the first one is true, then ask the second one.
So then, yes, after the first if, my first else needs a curly brace in front of it.
Yes. Well, in front of it, what is...
Like before it. Like it needs to be... If
these would be inside, the P1 wins
yes,
would be
P1
inside
wins curly,
in curly
brace. And then I would say curly brace, else.
No.
No?
Else, then curly brace.
Else, then curly brace.
Okay.
You are really having a battle with these curly braces.
I can't believe how much they're bothering.
And I hate to tell you, but they're going to win.
Yeah.
The pseudocode and the flowchart.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And again, this didn't have to be these questions. You could have asked, is player one equal to player two first? You could have said, is player two greater than player one? All you have to do is ask to find out the three possibilities. Player one wins, because he's bigger than player two. Player two wins because he's bigger than player three. Bigger than player one. Okay, so the possibilities are, is player one win? That means that player one is greater than player two. So that can be one of your questions. Player two wins if player two is greater than player one. And you have a tie if their player one equals player two. And you don't have to, those are the three questions, basically. And you can ask any two of those, and if you get a no to two of them, then the third one is the truth. You could also have asked the less than question. You could have said is player one less than player two. So there's a whole variety of ways you can ask this question. But what you're looking for is to find out who won, or is it a tie? But you can all, instead of I use the greater than, you can use the less than. Okay, so there's a whole variety of ways you can ask the question, but you got to make sure that you find out if player one won, player two won, or it's a tie. Question. Well, if and else can't have caps. And the condition has to be in parentheses. Yeah. So if player one total is greater than, but you have to write it out. Okay, you have to write out player one total just the way I wrote it out here. Player one total. And the greater than has to be the greater than sign rather than the is greater than. So you got the logic going okay at the beginning there, but it's not coming out quite right.
Mine will not run.
How many of you have actually got it working? Okay. Then I'm not going to give you the answer. We will go over the answer on Thursday, but if nobody's got it running, I want to see the answer.
What?
We need to have another if. Yeah. First of all, that if, that condition has to be up with the if.
Oh.
Okay, the condition has to be up with the if. Okay, for your own good, try to get this working before Thursday, and then I will give you, I will go over the solution on Thursday, assuming we have school, but who knows, snowstorm. But anyway, I will give you the solution on Thursday, but just for your own good, try to get it working. And then, you know, we'll go over it on Thursday. But we are just about out of time. Yeah. Okay, well, wait a minute. If you got the if structure wrong. Okay, a lot of you are doing the if structure wrong. You say if, and it has to be lowercase, then the condition that you're testing has to be inside parentheses. If, and the condition has to be inside parentheses.
Is that true for else as well?
No, else is just a standalone word. Okay? But the if, the condition has to be inside parentheses. And a lot of you are not doing that. Okay. Go back. You got it. Yay.